verses 19 through 27. Matthew 25, verses 19 through 27. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest.
Well, good morning. It is certainly good to see everybody again this morning, and it is a joy to be able to worship God with you once again. And I'll begin by saying we are getting so close to us being here all the time. You've had to look at me over the last couple of times that we've been. Lord willing, 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from this Sunday, all 5 of us will be here to worship the Lord with you here and from that point forward. And we are looking forward to that. It seemed like it's been a long time coming, and it's been that way for us, and I know it's been that way for you as well. But we are very, very close. In less than 2 weeks, we close on our house, and we'll be driving up here and moving in that weekend before. So you may have asked yourself already, does he even know where he lives? We've talked about that before. I struggle with knowing exactly where that is, but I'll let you know, I do have a much firmer grasp on where our house is, and I'll share that with you. You go out here on the road, and you head on down the way, and you come to a roundabout, you turn left, go just a little bit further down the road to a subdivision, you turn left into there, and in the first left is our road, and our house is on the right, and I look forward to seeing everybody as soon as we move in. That's about the extent of my knowledge of this and the area, but we are excited to be here and really looking forward to the time that we can be here and be a part of the work that happens right here, just a couple of weeks away, and we are fired up about that. And we have, I'll tell you, we're not completely packed up yet. There's still 1 or 2 things for us to do, 1 or 2 million things, it seems, but we do have, I've been telling people, we're in a ready or not scenario, and that's probably best for us. We could probably drag it on out a few more days or weeks, but we're coming up here ready or not, so it's just going to be ready. And so we'll get that done, and we'll be here, all of us, just a couple of weeks from today, and we are excited about that. So let's talk about what we're going to get into this morning. I want you to begin to think about what it is you get excited about. If I were to ask that question to you, well, what do you get excited about? What do you get fired up about? Well, what are some of the first things that come to your mind? And maybe it's a sporting event that you like to participate in, or a hobby that you have, or a fan of some team that you love, or maybe it's something else entirely. But usually there's something that pops into everybody's minds when we're asked that question. What do you get fired up about? What excites you? And probably if we would go around the auditorium this morning, it'd take us a while, but we would probably get all kinds of different answers to a question like that. And hopefully you got something in your mind this morning. And I want you to consider that. And this morning we're going to talk a little bit about, seems like we've had this trouble before. Here we go. I mean, we're way down the line now. We're going to talk a little bit about this guy. Now, we're familiar with this guy. He is the sloth. And when we think about the sloth, the very first thing that comes into our mind is he's just not in a big hurry. He may look cute, and he looks very comfortable sitting up there in a tree. But still, our mind says, yeah, we understand the sloth. It is that lazy animal. It doesn't do anything very fast. It doesn't do anything very quick. It's not in a hurry to do really anything at all. And if we're ever described as a sloth in any capacity or as slothful in any area of life, we know that's something bad. We don't want to be that. He may be cute and he may look comfortable, but when someone calls you a sloth or calls you slothful, it doesn't come out very good. And so this morning, when we put into our mind, what is it that we get excited about? We're going to take that by way of application and begin to think spiritually. We're going to start general. And so I want you to think, do you get excited about spiritual things? And listen, nobody can hear your answers in your own head. So you might as well be honest with yourself, right? Nobody is, you're not whispering to your neighbor. You're only answering to yourself. Nobody can hear that. So be honest about that. Do you get excited about spiritual things? Compare that to the one thing that popped into your mind when I asked you at the beginning what you get excited about. Compare those things real quick. Whatever it was that popped into your mind, do you get excited about spiritual things on the level that you get excited about whatever it was that popped into your head at the beginning? Do you get excited about spiritual things? Are you zealous for godly things? Are you zealous for godly things? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? A great biblical phrase. Do you hunger and thirst? It is a great biblical phrase that we have that I don't think we fully comprehend, hungering and thirsting for something, because there's probably a good chance, there may not be any, and if there is, it is a small minority of those of us that have really, literally hungered or thirsted. I mean, literally been hungry to this level or thirsty to this level. Does that describe you? Do you love and thrive to feed on God's word? I want us to think about those things a little bit this morning, and we're going to do so with a point that's made from Luke chapter 19. It's a familiar story to a lot of us. It's a story of a little tiny fella, and it's a story in which even the kids sing a song about this guy. And sometimes I think as adults, when we run across a passage like this, especially one that's connected to some children's song, there's a temptation for us to say, well, this is kind of a children's story. And I'm too old for Luke 19, and the applications are a little younger than where I sit. But I want all of us to understand what's taking place here in Luke 19, and I want all of us to gather something from the overall excitement level of this little fella, Zacchaeus. His overall zeal and the excitement just to see Jesus. It's remarkable to me. Let's read it together. I'm in Luke chapter 19, beginning of verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw him, they all murmured, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Now, this is the story I want us to put into our mind. And the picture that I want us to put in our mind this morning is of a man so excited to just see Jesus. He threw all caution to the wind, climbed in a tree just to get a glimpse of him. Now, I want you to realize Zacchaeus, although it makes mention that he was a short man of short stature, he is a man, he is a grown man. Here, he's a grown man with a grown man's job. In our mind, it is today and probably is then, grown men with grown men job. We don't just go around running around and climbing up into trees to see something or to do something, but that's where he was. I want to see Jesus. I want to hear Jesus. I want to get a glimpse of him. And he runs and he climbs up into this tree. It's remarkable to me to feel the excitement emanating from the words in this story. There's not a one of us here this morning that in any way cannot be able to see and to feel the excitement level coming from this guy Zacchaeus. The impact that Jesus had upon him was great. Jesus calling to him by name and saying, listen, I'm going to stay with you for a little bit. And the excitement level and the joy that comes from that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, from the English Standard Version, it says, do not be slothful in zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And it is from this verse, broken up into the preacher's dream, three pieces that we're going to talk about. The first is this. Do not be slothful in zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal. In Proverbs chapter 21, in verse 25, the writer of the book of Proverbs, in all of his wisdom, in writing about our overall attitude, says in Proverbs 21 and verse 25, the desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. This in Proverbs 21 describes a man who is slow to act. He's slow to get things done. He just doesn't operate at an excitement level of any kind. He just goes about kind of in what we would reference that ho-hum mentality about life, moving from one thing to the next. The story that was read for us at the beginning of the lesson from Matthew chapter 25, a story that Jesus tells of three servants of a master who goes away and gives them varying sums of money to do something with. And the one given the 5 talents and the one given the 2 talents do something with what they had been giving. But the man who had 1 talent does nothing with it. He does nothing with it. And the master comes back and what does he say? You lazy servant. You lazy servant. On one hand, Jesus speaks of the ones that did something with what the master had given to them as good and faithful servants because they made something of the opportunities that were put in front of them, but the one who did nothing is described as wicked and lazy. In the book of Romans now, in Romans chapter 12, again, the Apostle Paul, in talking about our overall excitement level, the energy with which we live spiritually, and that's really what we're talking about this morning. What is our energy level, spiritually speaking? Are we fired up, or are we lazy and slothful? Look at Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 9, listen to the Apostle Paul. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I want you, from this passage, to simply take notice of the action words that Paul uses here. He is describing someone who is full of action. He is describing someone who is constantly doing. He is describing someone who is on the move, motivated by God. Words like loving and hating and clinging, being kindly, affectionate, honoring, being joyful, being patient, being faithful, given to hospitality, all of these action words give us a picture of someone who is fired up about living for God, doing and being motivated by those things. For us this morning, we have to begin to ask, when it comes to my Christian walk, am I doing so with a high level of intensity and excitement? Or am I just kind of being easygoing about it? In our culture, we seemingly praise those who are easygoing, don't we? We love those guys. We love the guys that roll with the punches. We love the people who just seem to be laid back all the time. And we love being around those guys. And we love being around those folks, those that are just laid back and don't seem bothered by life and are able to sit in the rocking chair in the face of a tornado, because that's just how calm and cool they are all the time. Well, although we may enjoy some of those attributes in this physical world that we live in, spiritually speaking, the Christian, simply, there's no room for an easygoing attitude. There's no time to sit back in the rocking chair and just let things happen around us. You may still be in the book of Matthew in chapter 25. If you are, you're close to where we're going in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, listen to Jesus, beginning here in verse 37. He says, the last of all he sent his son. No, that's not 21. Let's try chapter 22. That works a little better. I started reading that, and I'm like, I don't think that's right. All right, verse 37, Matthew 22. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, this is a passage we reference a lot, but I want you to think about what Jesus is saying when he says, listen, your love for God, your passion for God, your excitement level about God and his things, Jesus says you are to give everything to that. You give all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. That's giving all there is. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9, the last passage on this point, in Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrew writer, and talking about some of these things about our attitude and diligence, which we'll talk more about here in just a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul, the writer here of Hebrews, is writing about how it is that we don't become sluggish. And so this morning we have to ask ourselves, what is my excitement level spiritually? Slothfulness, excitement. In that passage where we were in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, when he had that, do not be slothful in zeal, he continues on to say, be fervent in spirit. Not only does he tell us not to lack zeal, but he tells us to keep our spiritual fervor. This is a great word, because this word means to be hot, to set a flame, to boil, if you will. Really strong words. to be on fire. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writing to Timothy says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We often spend time in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 about where Paul says, listen, this is what God has provided you with. Not this spirit of fear, but of power. But I want you to take notice of what he says in verse 6. The phrase that I love, I want you to stir up the gift of God. And that may be what we need this morning. We need all of those godly things to just get stirred up, to get worked up. I mean, that's a good question. It's a phrase we use often about getting worked up. What do we get worked up about? Do we get worked up about spiritual things? Do we get set in a frenzy about spiritual things? A lot of you may know it, and all of you will find out as we continue on in this relationship, but I am a huge sports fan, and I am an active participant when I'm even sitting all by myself in my living room watching a game. My wife will really tell you I'm an active participant. I am one that will sit on the very edge of the couch. I am one that will jump and scream and point and sit there and be disgusted even at times, even though as I've gotten older, I've gotten much better about that. But I get worked up, and I get excited, and I feel that, and my heart races at what's going on, and I don't want really anything else to be going on at that time. And I think, as I've even done this week, and as I've asked you today, I think about how even in that silly thing of watching a ball game, something that means nothing. I mean, it means nothing. It's hard for me even really to say out loud, but I mean, it is that's the reality. It means nothing. And I sit there and I think about it and I see how worked up I can get and how excited I can get and how animated I can be. And I've taken that this week and I've applied that level and I've asked that question of myself. Where am I spiritually with that kind of fervor? And that's what I want you to do this morning. It may not be sitting and watching a ball game, but there's something in your life that you react to in that way. That's where I am. It is the idea biblically of diligence. When you run across the word diligence in the New King James as I use, you may be using a translation that uses the phrase making every effort, which is really a phrase I like better because it really defines what diligence is. Making every effort. That says 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 9. Don't turn there because it's 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. I just took notice of that. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9, where Peter is talking about building ourselves, adding to our faith, virtue to virtue knowledge, and that passage you're familiar with. But what does he say at the very beginning of that? Giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue to virtue knowledge. Make every effort to do so. Make every effort. Peter will say just a few pages from there, or a couple of chapters, if you have there in your Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, and talking about Jesus, the second coming, and the day that is going to be laid out for us in the future, a time in which Christ returns, and everything here and everything that we know in this world and surrounding this life will be dissolved and be gone. He says there in chapter 3 and verse 14, "Beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." You know, it's easy to just read that word, be diligent or have diligence, but it just doesn't convey the power and the energy behind that word. That's why I love that phrase, making every effort this morning. Is that where you are spiritually? Making every effort. Romans chapter 12. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Finally, serve the Lord. The importance of serving God with all that we have. As Paul writes of the brethren in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, a powerful, energetic passage, chapter really, in Colossians chapter 3, but towards the very end of that, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love Colossians 3 and verse 23? Whatever that you do, do it heartily. With everything that you have. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Giving everything you have, because the reality is the energy level that we interact spiritually with has every impact on our overall service to God. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer again will make mention of this. In verse 28, he says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The way we serve our God. What's our energy level? What is our excitement level spiritually? As we close, I want to give you one final thought. Sometimes when we talk about excitement, we talk about zeal. What scares us sometimes as Christians is we begin to picture even some of the things that we see biblically, but all we can picture is what we, in some stereotypical way, picture denominationally. Well, I don't want to be out of control with my excitement. I don't want to be out of control like I've seen in other places. I don't want to be that. And so instead of that, we go to the complete opposite side and we find ourselves slothful in our service and energy to God. But what we've seen this morning, what God is looking for, is He's looking for people who are diligent, who are zealous. As Paul will write to Titus in Titus chapter 2, being zealous for good works. You know, that word zeal is found all over the New Testament. The word diligence is found all over the New Testament. And those are high energy, high excitement words. Are you excited spiritually about what God has done for you? If that's a yes, and I hope that it is, but if that's a yes, how do you showcase that? How do you show that? Do you get fired up about an opportunity, as we have even this morning, to be here and to worship our God? Are you fired up to be able to do that again this evening at 6 o'clock? Are you fired up to have that opportunity on Wednesday night, or any opportunity that you may have that you find during the day to open up God's Word and to let that sink into our hearts? Do we get excited about those things? Do we get excited about opportunities to share His gospel, like even Brent prayed for this morning? We get excited about those opportunities? Are we excited about spiritual things? How does that excitement level stack up with other things that we get excited about? Listen, I've had great benefit of being able to think about that all week. I'm asking you to think about it this morning. I'm going to encourage you not just to think about it this morning, but carry that thought with you. If you need to, for a couple of days, chew on that for a little bit. Really do some thinking about it, because it can be really helpful when it comes to analyzing where we are with God. Are we fired up to be Christians? When I stand up here and I start to think about what God has done for us, when I stand up here and start to think about what God has done for me, giving me a way that my sins can be forgiven, giving me an opportunity to have hope to spend eternity with him in heaven, I'll tell you in an honest way, and I get excited about that. I'm fired up about that. We're going to sing the song of invitation. It gives us an opportunity, all of us, to think about those kinds of things. And it may be we can help you in some way this morning. It may be that you and your sin separate you from God. You know that it is only in the waters of baptism that sin is washed away. It's the only way, because it's the way that God is lined out. We can help you with that today. Maybe there's something else we can help you with. If we can, let us know as we stand and sing.